This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. I have patients all over the country. I do telephone consults. I do telehealth via video conferencing. Whatever works for you. And I see patients in office every Tuesday and Wednesday in office. Anytime during Tuesday and Wednesday in office, definitely. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. And I want to talk to you today about our microbiome and our connection to the natural world, how the natural world shapes our microbiome. I'm bringing this to you from the Institute for Functional Medicine. They talk a lot about various health topics, conditions, microbiome. So connection, this word connection carries so much weight, especially during this time of pandemic. And it is true that all forms of life are interconnected. And what does that mean? Is it true that all forms of life are interconnected? Humans and other microbial communities in nature have been evolving together for billions of years. But how connected are we truly to the landscape outside of our bodies? Can urbanized lifestyles, exposure to pollution, and the consumption of nutrient-depleted and synthetic foods contribute to dysbiotic health patterns? These are some of the questions that scientists are beginning to explore as they expand their understanding of the environment. Microbiome health axis and examine what happens inside the body when humans are disconnected from their natural surroundings. So we're talking about the environment microbiome health axis. This branch of research centers around a hypothesis that's based on the idea that humans have co-evolved with microbiota in biodiverse environments, and that this relationship is vital to the evolution and progression of resilient immune systems. It is. We're actually a holobiome. That's described by Dr. Stephen Gundry, who wrote The Plant Paradox. If you haven't read it, Dr. Stephen Gundry, The Plant Paradox, he says we are a holobiome. If you were to look as closely as possible through a microscope, even, you would see we are surrounded by microbiota. And it's not just, you know, the gastrointestinal tract. It's our skin. It's our orifices. It's our immediate force field, if you will, the immediate field around us. It's fascinating. So one study estimates that approximately 22 to 36% of the interperson microbiome variability is associated with environmental factors, and only 1 to 9% with genetics. This supports the view that humans are holobionts. Holobionts, a host plus trillions of microorganisms working symbiotically to form a functional ecological unit. Think about that. We're like a superorganism, right? This is called microbioscape research. This field of study examines the environmental microbiome and its relationship with people and nature. It also aims to understand the social implications and functional ecology of these communities, with a focus on their importance for people, place, and nature. There's research that suggests that growing up in a microbe-rich environment, like on a farm, may have protective health effects on children. We've heard this before. For example, an individual's proximity to green spaces and their associated microbiota may play a role in developing non-communicable diseases. In 2015, researchers showed that green space proximity was inversely associated with atopic sensitization in children. Four study cohorts comprising children and adolescents were used to analyze the prevalence of atopic sensitization. They measured serum IgE to specific inhalant allergens like pollens and things, right? From five land use types: forest, agricultural land, built areas, wetlands, and water bodies. Interesting. The amount of green environment, forest and agricultural land, around the homes of study subjects were inversely associated with the risk of atopic sensitization in children. For example, land use pattern explained 20% of the variation in the relative abundance of proteobacteria on the skin of healthy individuals, supporting the hypothesis of a strong environmental effect on the commensal microbiota. Another team of researchers found that residents living with higher surrounding biodiversity supported a higher diversity of immunoregulatory gamma proteobacteria. However, these beneficial health effects may be minimized if land use becomes more urbanized. Another reason to escape to the suburbs and rural areas, right? Away from the inner cities, especially during this time of pandemic, right? Some researchers speculate that if early life exposure to environmental microbes increases gut microbiota diversity by influencing patterns of gut microbial assembly, then soil biodiversity loss due to land use changes like urbanization could be considered a public health threat. Think about it. It's an argument to keep rural areas rural, suburban areas suburban, and not promote more density, more spread, right? Interesting. An interesting 2018 study investigated whether land use type around Finnish homes in Finland affected the diversity, richness, and abundance of bacterial communities indoors. Researchers evaluated debris deposited on doormats in 30 rural and 26 urban households. Bacterial community composition was characterized for four different land use types: built area, forest, transitional, and open area. Within 200 meters and 2,000 meter radiuses from each household, the diversity of total bacterial, proteobacterial, actinobacterial, bacterioides, and firmicutes communities decreased as the percentage of built area increased. And additionally, the relative abundance of potentially pathogenic bacterial families and genera increased as the percentage of built area increased. Interestingly, having domestic animals, including pets, only altered the association between the richness of gamma proteobacteria and diversity of firmicutes with the built area coverage, suggesting that animal ownership minimally affects transfer of environmental microbiota indoors from the living environment. So, that's really interesting. A lot of these, the diversity of the total bacterial micro community decreased as the percentage of built area increased. That's really what this is telling us. Urban dwelling groups may be less exposed to diverse microbiota from natural environments due to a range of socioeconomic factors like lack of access to quality green spaces. This is why it's so important to have more green space in our urban areas. We need to retain and take care of our parks. People with lower socioeconomic status also tend to eat higher proportions of ultra-processed foods and may face additional barriers to accessing affordable produce like vegetables and fruits. So what are the clinical implications? The bulk of the research into the microbioscape builds upon studies signifying the importance of the microbiome in human health, from processing nutrients to the modulation of inflammatory diseases and mood disorders. Mood disorders are also linked to inflammation and linked to our microbiota. Dysbiosis of the gut microbiome of infants has been linked to an increased risk of asthma and allergic diseases. Some data points to the correlation between early life risk factors, including mode of delivery, lack of animals in the home, early life antibiotic use, and changes in the structure of the gut microbiome that disrupt immune regulation. Lack of microbial diversity in the urban environment may also lead to changes in the type, degree, and timing of microbial stimulation in early life. Dysbiosis has also been linked to an increased predisposition to chronic allergic conditions. This is known as the microflora hypothesis. Is that why we're seeing more allergy among people, more histamine reactions and intolerances of this nature? We're seeing more and more of this. This could be a reason. The lack of the microbial diversity in our environment that we should be connected to. As literature supporting the symbiotic relationship between humans, biodiverse environments, and microbial communities continues to grow, so too do strategies designed to benefit people and nature. For example, there's a continued interest in the role of nature-based health interventions. We're calling this, the acronym is NBIs, nature-based interventions, nature-based health interventions, NBIs, like green prescribing, which can include therapeutic horticulture, biodiversity conservation activities, or activities like exercise in green spaces. I would include forest bathing here. Some researchers are looking at whether green infrastructure like urban parks and community allotments could be designed and managed to generate microbiome-associated health benefits. Others are examining the possibility of rewilding environmental microbiomes by restoring urban ecosystems and their microbial communities to a state that benefits human health. Even as I'm reading this, this could be a state of nirvana for our microbial biodiversity. Imagine just being able to look. It may be enough for some people to help decompress their stress levels when they're able to look out a window in their home and see trees and green. But think to live amongst it. If the urban areas can be transformed to have more green spaces. A number of studies suggest potential benefits of NBIs, that's nature-based health interventions, to facilitate health and well-being through the, quote, structured promotion of nature-based experiences, end quote. These include the development of public green space and nature prescriptions, where doctors or other health practitioners prescribe nature-based experiences for patients living with specific health conditions. A range of NBIs have been examined in the peer-reviewed scientific literature, including green prescriptions, wilderness therapy, green gyms, and outdoor exercise groups. It's important to note that many factors influence both the effectiveness and the success of nature-based interventions. Further longitudinal studies are needed. This is very interesting and stuff. Interesting stuff. So what today, over half the world's population lives in an urban setting. The United Nations projects that 66% of us will live in a built city environment within 2 decades. How will this shape and contribute to overall health? Will the integration of nature-based interventions in therapeutic settings change the trajectory of disease? As our understanding of the connection between humans, their microbes, and the environment continues to evolve, we may begin to see all life through a holistic and symbiotic perspective and learn to integrate strategies that honor the interconnectedness of all things. And during this time, it may be bringing into question the germ theory. How does this recognize our understanding now of the microbiome and the biodiversity that is necessary for good health? And as I am doing this podcast, I am looking beyond my backyard to a nature preserve, which is all forest. Nothing will ever be built there. And I just want to go back there and take a walk and do some forest bathing. Good stuff, right? Look for green spaces. Enjoy the green space that surrounds you. If you don't live near any green space, make it a point to visit after work, on the weekend, whenever you can. Go for hikes. Exercise in those green spaces when you can. Be there. Plant your bare feet into the earth. I know the weather is getting colder now, but in warmer weather, it's good. It's force of nature. It's health via Mother Nature, the forest bathing. So this is really interesting emerging science about the impact to our microbiome, the microbiota, in our environment, in our green spaces, in our areas, agricultural, farmland, rural, suburban even, compared to urban, right? So, things to think about, food for thought. And I'm going to go take a walk in those woods now. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's MyFutureFarm, PHARM, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.